We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go have some fun, boys. Let's go perform today.
We're getting you ready for today's game
with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
For the next 2 hours,
join our hosts Hugh Douglas and Will Palache
as they talk everything Falcons,
as well as a look around the league.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Hugh and Will.
A special Monday night edition of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on the air on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as your Atlanta Falcons take on the Green Bay Packers from Lambeau Field. We sit at 0-3, Hugh Douglas. It's not a place anybody wants to be, but the feeling of this team could change a great deal if a victory happens tonight for the Falcons. They are a heavy underdog, but Green Bay comes in far from full. Found out today that Devontae Adams, their number one wide receiver, will not play. A host of others out for Aaron Rodgers, and he's playing with less than a full deck. But there's a reason why he's Aaron Rodgers. He's certainly able to overcome any weakness. How big is the deletion of Devontae when it comes to the Falcons trying to win this football game?
You know what? It's huge. But I will say this, that with the Falcons, and by the way, hello, Willie P. Hello, Atlanta.
Hello, Hugh Douglas.
Yes. It's my second time working today. I think it's huge, man. You're talking about a team that has already, it's already the underdog going into this game. Not to have him out there, I think that's huge. But, man, listen, regardless if he played or not, Willie P., you got to have this one, man. You know, we're in a position right now where it's all hands on deck. We're banged up defensively. We're banged up offensively, you know, with Julio. Don't know if he's going to go or not. It's all hands on deck, man. No excuses. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. It's time to show us the baby. We've heard about the labor pains. It's time to show us the baby.
It's certainly true. And when you think about the Devontae Adams thing, he put out a tweet earlier today that basically said, I was okay to play, but the team is holding me out. And so that kind of makes me think about there's some acrimony between him and the team. Have you ever seen anything like that? That seems weird.
Nah, it does. And you were asking me, and I'm like, you know, normally it's either one of two things. Either, they want to take a look at somebody else. Maybe it's too early in the season. Who knows? Or, I mean, if it's me defensively, I'm like, you don't respect me. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's like you don't respect me. You don't think that I'm good enough. And I would take I'm taking that personal. I'm going to take that personal. I'm going to make you regret it. I'm going to do everything in my power to make you regret that decision because you're underestimating what I could do.
Found out just a couple of moments ago from Field Yates of the NFL that for the second time, they have pushed the timing back of this Falcons game in order to accommodate for at least more eyeballs to see Patriots and Chiefs. Patriots and Chiefs is actually going to kick off on a basically CBS national broadcast at 7:05 today. We originally were scheduled for an 8:15 departure time.
Don't tell me it's like 9:10 or something like that.
It's now been pushed back to straight up 9 o'clock. Originally, they were going to put it at 8:50, but it's now 9 o'clock straight up. And I saw that when I was pulling up my stuff to get ready for the program that said it was 8:50 originally, and then it had 9 o'clock somehow, some way for that reason. But yeah, 10-minute slide back to 9 o'clock, and that's when they will kick things coming up tonight.
Don't they know I got to go to work in the morning? Why they doing
apparently
to me
don't
like
care.
This? Yeah, they don't.
They care.
Really don't give a damn about me, dude.
And it's interesting. This is a place where the Falcons have not had a lot of success, but they have had a lot of success in previous years with this team. Remember back, of course, to the 2017 postseason, we won 44-21 in our building. Then the next season in September, won by 11. But the last time we went up to Green Bay, that was December of 18, a 34-20 loss. Of course, the one thing that's kind of paramount in this particular situation when playing this team is putting up points. How confident are you, Hugh, that we could score on this Green Bay defense?
You know what? We have to. You know, you talk about a Green Bay defense that hasn't been that great. We got to put up points, man. I mean, you talking about the shootout that they had with the Saints a couple weeks ago? Got to put up points. That's the one thing that this team, Atlanta Falcons, has been able to do. Surrender a lot of points. You know, Abe has on the rundown how, you know, you look at averaging, you're giving up at least 30 points a game. But this team has also scored a lot of points. So, yeah. You got to – I think that they're still going to be in a position to do that. I know Todd Gurley is probably going to factor in huge with this. I think This is going to be a high-scoring game.
The big thing right now as we continue on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, we're taking you all the way up to countdown to kickoff. Mike Conti, actually, pre-game show hosting this week instead of Chris Goforth. He's pinch-hitting tonight. He and Harry Douglas will take you with the countdown to kickoff all the way up to Wes and Dave with the call at now 9 o'clock tonight for Falcons and Packers. I feel like the one thing that has been the big bugaboo for this Falcons squad is not putting four quarters together. I feel like last week we put maybe three quarters and a half, three and a third,
something like that. Like we're doing baseball or something. Three and third quarters.
Which is better than the week before where we had only two quarters, and the week before that where maybe you said we were a quarter and a half. So basically we're getting better, but we're not up to four yet. What is the biggest barrier in your mind? And I think a lot of people will look at the play calling, but Mr. Captain Defense and Captain Execution, you don't want to hear any about
Captain,
that.
Captain Planet Defense.
Planet Defense.
Yeah, I ain't trying
Planet
to do
Defense,
that,
you are Captain Execution of Planet Defense.
Yeah, basically. Man, listen. I understand that people look at the play calling and the defensive fronts and all this other stuff. My thing is this. I mean, playing defense, especially in the fourth quarter, I wholeheartedly believe it's a mentality. I mean, I think it's more about, you know, a man whoop a man. And, you know, there are so many examples. You can go to this weekend's slate of games, and you can see that. Just a man whoop a man. Just sheer line up in front of somebody and just beat them. I think it's a lot to do with that. I think that what the Falcons have done over the last couple of weeks, I think that by giving it up in the fourth quarter, I think doubt kind of creeps in. And you can kind of see that. If you go back and you look at film, Willie P., you'll see times where as the game progresses and teams start to chip away at that defense a little bit, they play a little different. They look a little different. They don't get back to the huddle as crisp as they once did. And I think that's when the doubt starts to creep in, because now as a player, I mean, it's human nature, man. You start to think when you've been in situations and in battles like this where, you know, in the fourth quarter it starts to go awry, you start to think about stuff like that. And you're wondering, as a player, what's going to happen next that's gonna derail this train. You gotta stop that from creeping in. You got to stop that doubt from creeping in.
We talked about the injuries when it comes to the Packers. Falcons have had a long injury report basically since the beginning of the year. For the second consecutive game, they will not have A.J. Terrell with them. He is still on the reserve COVID list. The Falcons confirming a couple minutes ago, right before we went on the air, that he is still on that COVID list and that Delrick Abrams Jr. is on the active roster, as is safety Jamal Carter. They've also added kicker Elliott Fry to the active roster and placed Younghoe Koo out for Monday night. Fry will handle the kickoffs and also the place kicking tonight. He, of course, formerly of South Carolina. He has not kicked in an NFL regular season game. He's only been a preseason activated player. As far as the defensive injuries, though, Hugh, you are dealing with a situation where 4/5 of the secondary that you started the season with, when you think about guys like Darqueus Dennard, A.J. Terrell, Ricardo Allen, and Keanu Neal, all will not play this weekend. Allen and Neal out with various injuries this week. Of course, we found out about Terrell last week. You do get Kendall Sheffield back. How big is his reinsertion to the lineup for the Falcons?
I think it's huge. You talk about one of your better corners. You know, it all depends on who you ask, because some people say A.J. Terrell is the better corner when it comes on this team, and Kendall Sheffield probably be a close second, or you know, you can reverse that order. But I think it's huge. The biggest thing to me, Willie P, is the health of that defensive line and helping those guys out in the secondary, getting that pass rush. You know me, captain defense, planet defense and all that, man. You got to be able to get pass rush, especially when you're going against a quarterback of the caliber of Aaron Rodgers. If you don't get pressure on that quarterback, man, it could be a long day for that young secondary.
It certainly can. And when you think about Rodgers and what he's done against the Falcons, he's taken 18 sacks in seven games. So they've actually had the opportunities to put Aaron Rodgers on the ground. He's not a mobile guy. That's the one thing that you know about him. He's very statuesque in the pocket. He's not Bledsoe, but he's somebody who, if you get home, he's going to be there, especially if he hasn't thrown the football. There is no Tack McKinley tonight. And it's really, really a sad thing because I feel like in the first half of the Seattle game, he found something. And now we haven't really seen it since then, not only because of ineffectiveness, but also because of him being injured. The other thing, too, that I feel like needs to happen tonight is that you need to have Dante Fowler finally become a member of this Atlanta Falcons football team. Because quite honestly, I know he has a jersey. I've seen his locker in the locker room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but I haven't seen him play on the field. Where is Dante Fowler? He's on a milk carton somewhere in Atlanta. Can we find him? Can he show up today?
Boy, that was strong, Willie P, but you know what, you're right. You know, you came into Atlanta with a lot of lip service and a lot of accolades coming in.
A lot of dough.
And you came in off of, you know, you benefited and got paid off of one of the best games against the Atlanta Falcons in your career. And a lot of people kind of were a little bit worried about that, is the fact that, you know, basically you went out there and you ran rush out over the Atlanta Falcons and you got paid. Now, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I know he's been banged up, but nobody's trying to hear that right now. Like I said, nobody want to hear about the labor pains. This is football. Show me the baby. And you've been non-existent. You know, you can't have that, man. And you know, it was only a matter of time before you start to feel the pressure of people kind of wondering, okay, we didn't get you all this bread, now where you at? Because we need you. And so, yeah, he has to step up tonight.
We'll hear from Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, also a couple other Falcons and Packers in our preview segment involving some audio, and also we'll get into the wide receiving core for the Falcons. Their two top targets are banged up. How effective can they be? We also want to hear from you on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Tell us what you want to see the Falcons do on the football field. If you have any questions for us, Hugh and I will answer them as we count you down to the countdown to kickoff. We're taking you until 6:15 tonight. It is the Wait For It Tailgate Show on a Falcons Monday night game night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
You don't need a radio to listen to the game. Just download our app and listen anywhere, at any time.
With the powers vested in me, I pronounce you man and
goal! It's a goal! It's a goal!
Okay,
a goal!
Almost anytime. Download the Radio.com app now and take us with you from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back up in the pocket, throws, backside, open, diving and scoring in the pylon.
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First down, play fake by Ryan. Matt going to take the deep shot. Calvin Ridley's out there and caught it in stride. 15, 10, 5. He is out of bounds at the one.
Wait For It Tailgate Show, Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you on Sports Radio 92.9. The game to count down to Monday Night Football. One of two matchups tonight Night Football.
Yeah.
Patriots and Chiefs. 7:05, 9 o'clock is our new kick time. Originally it was 8:15, then got moved to 8:50, and then moved to 9 p.m. What does that do? You used to play back when the original MNF was around that 9 o'clock kick time. What does that do to the body clock? Is it different? Is it hit different?
I mean, it's not different. The only thing is doing something to my body clock now, and it just letting me know that NFL don't care nothing about me and the fact that I got to get up early in the morning. Look at it, it's all about me.
But I got you.
It really didn't bother you too much, you know, because, you know, it's just a different day. You got to wait longer to play the game. That's the one thing that I remember, Willie P, is just sitting in the hotel room a little bit longer, waiting for that bus to come, because, you know, you get up, you know, you eat your breakfast, and you kind of just waited around, you know. It was just a little bit longer day, you know, so you had to push all your little routines back just a little bit.
The highlight, of course, referenced Calvin Ridley. Both he and Julio Jones questionable for tonight's contest. Ridley dealing with an ankle injury that he picked up somewhere between the game against the Chicago Bears and throughout the week in practice. Of course, Julio Jones did not play last week as a result of his injury that he suffered basically Cowboys week. He aggravated it during the Cowboys game, tried to push through during the week, could not give it a go on Sunday. Maybe a similar situation to like what's happening with Davante Adams, but even so, Julio at least plans to give it a go tonight. Both Jay Glazer has said both of those guys at least intend to play tonight. But what can they give the Falcons tonight? You, what is a realistic expectation for both these guys who are obviously hampered?
Well, I think that with Julio, decoy status more than anything. Like, Julio's on the field, man. Julio's better than most of the receivers in the NFL. That's just how it is. So if Julio's out there, they're going to double cover him. Regardless, he's going to get double covered. With an ankle injury, I think it's a little different. You know, I think it all depends on the severity. I don't know how bad it is or Calvin Ridley's pain tolerance, but that's something where you could basically, if you tape it up tight enough, you could probably go. All depends. Like I said, I don't know how serious his ankle injury is. And I'm coming from a perspective of a defensive lineman as opposed to a receiver. You know, because their money, you know, everything from the waist down has to be, you know, perfect in order for them to function at a high level. So I'm coming at it from, like, you know, a guy who's twisted his ankle a couple times and just get that thing taped up and keep it going. You know, that's a little bit different. And then again, to be honest, I ain't never moved that fast either. So, you know, there's that. But normally, I would think it would be the pain tolerance. But then again, thinking about it, Willie P., probably the cutting and everything would probably be a little limited if it's severe.
The thing that perplexed a lot of Falcon fans, perplexed me last week, is the fact that you had the injury to Julio. You had Russell Gage, who missed half the game with concussion-like symptoms. He's good to go this week, by the way. But you have Calvin on an ankle, and you're giving guys like Alameda Zacchaeus 9 targets a game and only running the ball once in the final 6-10 of the football game. It wasn't just the fact that they were throwing the football. It's that they were throwing the football from a great deficiency. And even a guy like Hayden Hurst only had 3 targets in the game. It was the decision-making, whether it was from the coaching staff or Matt Ryan, it left a lot to be desired. How much of that do you think needs to be shored up this week?
You're talking about the play calling?
Play calling decisions from Matt Ryan, because I know he didn't play very well.
You know what, Will? I look at it like this, and you know how I feel about offensively. Yeah, you got to get other guys involved, and you got to get the ball to your playmakers. But for me, it's always been the biggest deficiency on this squad has been defensively. It has been that for me at the beginning of the season. When I look at these awesome stats that Abe has put together for us every week, I see the first one is a little cut off. It's 38, whatever the score was when the Falcons lost, 38 against the Seattle Seahawks. 38-25. That's, they gave up 38 points. They lost in Dallas 40-39. Mm-hmm. They lost to Chicago 30-26. To me, mm-hmm. as much as you talk about the offense and how it needs to evolve, and I hear it. I understand that. And I understand that people are focused on how this offense tends to sputter in the fourth quarter. For me, as a former defender, those numbers in the loss column where you talk about the other team had, those are egregious numbers. Those are numbers to me that if you're on top of your game and you're playing good defense, it shouldn't matter because you're not supposed to give up that many points. So I hear what you're saying, and I acknowledge that the offense has to play better, especially now when you talk about the fact that your defense is not what you thought they were. And you're going to get into a little bit of a track meet. I hear you, right. But at the same time, the defense has to do something to try to keep that number down to a minimum.
I hate to count the checkbook again, but you do realize you got a lot of money sitting over there on the offensive side of the football, and you're right.
And I know that, you know, you're talking about guys like Hayden Hurst. You got to figure out a way to get Hayden Hurst involved. You know, Ty Gurley, like, he's starting to turn the corner a little bit. But I'm sorry, Will. I get what you're saying, and I'm not answering your question because you're right.
I got you.
Especially when you talk about in the fourth quarter, you have to do something to help your offense out. I mean, excuse me, you got to do something to help your defense out.
Especially when they were on the field as much as they were in that
fourth quarter. Yes, you do. And to your point, you have to be better in your play calls. You can't throw the ball for three straight plays knowing that your defense is going to give up the ghost when they get out there. That your defense is going to be, you know, a little timid because they've given up. They've given up leads. So with that being said, yeah, to your point, I think that in order for that offense to be better, you have to figure out how to run the ball better in key situations. You have to figure out how to run the ball better in key situations.
We are on Twitter at Willie P Style, at BigQ53, and also at 929 The Game. Phillip tweets us saying that Ridley better go. Look at what Mike Evans did yesterday. We'll take a look at what happened throughout the National Football League during week number four. All this stuff we're talking about, whether it's on offense or defense, boils down to one thing. Falcons need to figure out how to finish. It's something that Dan Quinn addressed earlier this week.
I think you got to go do it. And that's the part about, being in this competitive arena that you are. It's like you so badly want to get back to that moment to do it. And so we've got to play well all the way leading up to that spot to put us into those spaces. But when we get the lead, you got to, you know, like I said, close the door to go.
That is Dan Quinn speaking with Dukes and Bell last week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As far as the defensive side in trying to defend this Green Bay team that does not have Davante Adams tonight, that does not have one of his favorite targets from last week's victory over New Orleans, Alan Lazard, they still do have a running back in Aaron Jones, and he's somebody who is dynamic out of the backfield. The Falcons have really drawn a poor hand here when it comes to the running backs that they've seen, from Chris Carson to Zeke Elliott. Even last week with Tariq Cohen, I know that he didn't play a lot of the game because he got hurt, but they had guys who can catch the football out of the backfield, and this week is no different, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You come out initially, and you have a great game plan against them in the first half, and you've played well against them in the first half. It's just that this team needs to learn how to finish, man. You talk about the turnovers that Zeke had early in that game. Zeke is one heck of a back. But as we saw, when he started rolling, the tables turned. You have to figure out a way, man, to try to keep that going, man, and protect your secondary. You got to be able to protect your secondary. And the way you do that, you got to put pressure on the quarterback.
I know that I focus a lot on the mental side of the game because I didn't play it at a level that you did. So I get a lot down and kind of bogged down in the psychology of the sport.
Oh, no, and as you should, because I that's a huge part of it. Willie P, no question about that.
But how much of that is something that you feel as a player is what I'm getting at, as far as not being able to finish. That's something like you kind of see the thing on the horizon, being like, oh, here we go again. How much of that?
That could play huge into your psyche when you know that at a certain point during the confrontation, the physical confrontation, you start clock watching. Because this ain't been your most shining moment. And you know what? You got to compartmentalize a little bit. You have to get, like I would say, in a situation like that, you have to take the small victories. Okay, say like, for instance, we're in the third quarter and we get through the third quarter and we don't give up a point. Like, we don't give up a field goal or nothing. That's a win. I mean, think about that for a minute. Like, we're talking about compartmentalizing a little bit and just trying to get the small wins. Okay, now going into the fourth quarter, if I don't give up a touchdown in the first 3 minutes, that's a win. You feel me? That's how you kind of build off of that. Okay, we didn't give up the first 3 minutes. Now let's build on that. That's how you do it in small increments. Don't give up a first down in crucial situations. Pass breakup, things of that nature. Just try to build this defense's confidence back up.
Speaking of that defense, Deion Jones, the man who will be tasked with defending Aaron Jones. Here's Raheem Morris, Falcons defensive coordinator, addressing that particular part of the game plan.
You can guess that Deion will be matched up on the best nine wideout that teams can provide, you know, when you come to play us. It's just kind of what he does. It's one of his fortes. He did a nice job last week on Cohen. He's been doing a really good job with some of the guys in our own division. And going against a guy that, like Aaron Jones, that's been able to do some of the things he's been able to do in this league.
Not only does it really pay for the Falcons to try and stop things from that perspective, but I also feel like they got to figure out what their running game is, who is their primary back, and who can be a closer for them. We'll get into that as we go throughout the Wade Ford Tailgate Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as always on radio.com. We'll come back, go around the NFL. Again, usually this would be a preview segment, but we'll tell you what happened yesterday in some of the best games that we saw. One big upset, team that beat us, got beaten yesterday inside their building. We'll talk about that. And more from week four as we continue on the Monday night special edition of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas coming back on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed. And when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's Cohen drifting toward the backfield. They're going to slide him underneath. Trubisky in trouble, and he'll go down. Atlanta gets to Mitchell Trubisky, and Dante Fowler was in the mix.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. I'll give some props to my man for actually being in there on that sack. So there you go. I know we were dogging him during the last segment, but again,
Were we dogging him, though, Willie P.? I mean, seriously.
I feel like we just want to see more. That's all.
I mean, isn't that what he was brought here for? To juice the pass rush?
He was.
Hmm.
Hasn't been awful that juiced, though.
No. I mean, I don't think it's dogging him. I think that, you know, for what these Falcons fans have been looking for, I mean, we've been told, you know, Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, Dante Fowler. I mean, the only person that we can really count on is like Grady Jarrett, but nobody really off the corner. So, yeah. I don't think it's dogging him.
Certainly not. This is not the only game of the evening, as it normally would be on Monday Night Football. If you've been following the NFL over the course of the last couple of days, you know the Patriots and Chiefs were supposed to play at 4:25 yesterday. They will play a little bit more than 2 hours from right now, 7:05 Eastern Time, 6:05 local in Kansas City, as the Patriots and Chiefs match up at Arrowhead Stadium. Of course, this involves the COVID positive test of Cam Newton. Chiefs had one as well from practice squad quarterback Jordan Te'amu, the kid out of Ole Miss. How does the departure of Newton affect the Patriots and what they want to do? It looks like they're going to start Brian Hoyer tonight against KC.
Ooh, man, it don't look like it's going to be the kind of game that we thought it was going to be. You know, we talk about the two dynamic quarterbacks that were going to be on the field. If Cam would have played, it's not going to be the case. I think it kind of, you know, makes your whatever you wanted to run a little bit different with Hoyer back there. Definitely makes it a little bit different. So I think, you know, the bottom line is this, Willie P. Kansas City was going to win anyway. So, I mean, I think the consensus was Kansas City was going to win anyway. So it don't change anything as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Cam is somebody who can always give you a chance to win just by the way that he plays. There's a lot of stuff that he does that's very, very hard to account for. And he's played very, very well in his first three games in New England. And it's funny how everybody was sitting there and saying, oh, well, he's going to have to adjust to the New England way of doing things. Nah. Bill Belichick is going to adjust his playbook to what Cam's skill set is going to be. That's why Bill Belichick is the GOAT. And that's coming from somebody who does not give the Patriots or Tom Brady or anybody up there with that franchise any credit whatsoever. And the problem is that Cam being on that franchise has made me want to see them do better than I normally do, which is,
you know, odd. You know what's funny? The people that said that Cam was going to be a problem, the people that said that Bill Belichick wasn't going to like Cam were some cats from up that way. Those are the only two cats that I've heard say it.
Exactly.
And it's clear, like, you know, they didn't have a clue. I mean, they do radio every day. I don't know their names, but they don't have a clue. I mean,
you're right.
Clearly they had their fingers on the pulse of that city, because anytime any coach goes out and recruits a player of Cam's caliber, you know exactly what you're getting. You're not a good coach like that and put a round peg in a square hole. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. So for them to take that take on it and sit there and feel so strongly about it, that just shows you how stupid they were. Don't know their names, but if I did, I would definitely say it on there, because I don't really care. But yeah. That was a stupid take.
Patriots not going to have Sony Michel tonight. He's off to the IR after suffering a quad injury. They go SEC for SEC, though, with the replacement, former Alabama running back Damian Harris, activated to the roster after missing three games due to a ham injury. So they're certainly going to be leaning on the run game tonight. As far as the rest of the league goes, can we talk about how bad the NFC East is? Because even though the Cowboys lost to the Browns, which I know you and I were both very, very happy about, they're still in first place, tied with the Washington football team for first place at 1-3.
Yeah, wow. The Eagles just got their first win last night. You know what's funny, man? Like, I was on my Facebook page, and, you know, I'm in this Facebook group from my school. You know, went to school at Ohio, and somebody said, you know, they just say it randomly, the NFC East is probably the worst division of football. And I responded, I'm like, you know what, this tweet kind of hit home a little bit.
Right.
You know, it hurt a little bit. But no lies told, man. You talk about the Washington Redskins beat the Philadelphia Eagles, looked like they were going to be world beaters, took a couple L's. Detroit Lions. The Dallas Cowboys looked like they were a pretty formidable team. They take an L to the Cleveland Browns. All I got yesterday were texts from John freaking Oren Romain, and A for that matter, talking about what's gotten into the Cleveland Browns. They dropped damn near, what, 50 on
49
on Dallas. Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, I still can't believe that happened. But, yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. looked like he's – Jarvis Landry, we were trying to figure out, is somewhere in his career, did he – we say probably high school – but in college, did he play quarterback? Because that was a hell of a throw.
It was a high school situation. I know that at LSU he wouldn't have played quarterback, but I know that he, I think, was a high school quarterback. But he looked darn comfortable throwing the football yesterday.
Man, listen, he threw – that was a beautiful pass. He threw a laser. And the Cleveland Browns, listen, they're going to eat – they're going to feast off of that win for weeks. Mm-hmm. They're going to feast off of that one for weeks, even though we still got a lot of football left to play.
Looking elsewhere in our division, Carolina gets a victory over the Cardinals, 31-21. We have them off a short week. I know a lot of Falcon fans seem pretty confident about that game, as, you know, every fan base does before the season. You try to tick off wins. There are a lot of people up there in Charlotte who think that this isn't a rebuild anymore. They feel like they can get a couple of wins together, especially without Christian McCaffrey in the lineup.
You know what? It's a rebuild. Let's not get it confused. It is a rebuild. But, you know, you got the Atlanta Falcons coming into town. And, you're going to play the Atlanta Falcons, I should say. And the way that the Falcons have played, you do feel like you have a shot. And then when you look at the division and how, you know, the Patriots sitting at the top right now. So you look like you can probably make some moves because the Atlanta Falcons don't look like they're ready to, you know, to fly yet. So, yeah, you feel pretty confident in that. You got to take away that confidence if you're Coach Quinn and Atlanta Falcons. But first – got to take care of business tonight.
I hope this doesn't get me in trouble with home.
Probably
but
will.
Colts-Bears. Did it not make you feel a little something when you see the Bears' defense, or Bears' offense, I should say, struggle as much as they did against the Colts? I know the Colts' defense isn't that good, is it?
They got some players over there. They got some
players. Yeah, but they only had 11 points.
I mean, but you know what? You look at how – like Frank Reich knows Nick Foles,
yes.
You know, because they had success together. So he knows what he's good at throwing. The one thing that I say about Nick Foles, Nick Foles is a great reliever. Right. Nick Foles is who was it? I heard Howie Long talking about his son, compared him to the cleaner that was from Pulp Fiction. You know, the dude that came
in. Winston Wolf.
He compared him to the Wolf.
The Harvey Keitel character.
Yeah. Yes. He compared him to him. And he's the guy that comes in and he just fixes it. Not a long-term fix, because for whatever reason, Nick Foles has not been that guy. But in a reliever role, extremely, extremely talented. And I think that the one thing that he does extremely well is he gets everybody else involved. Now, you start taking away options from him, because he goes through his progressions pretty good. You start taking away those options and make him hold him to the football, he's a mortal man.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P and Hugh Douglas taking a look around the league in week number 4. By the way, they rushed it 16 times for only 28 yards. I feel incredibly salty about that whole situation, but that's just because...
Yeah, that's a win we could have had. Yeah,
I'm in my feelings about it. Saints kind of struggled a little bit early, but able to find themselves against the Detroit Lions, 35-29. Saints
is that really a struggle, though? Because
They were down.
But this is a stat that I got. The off of television, the Saints, excuse me, the Detroit Lions have had six straight games where they've been leading in the first quarter by 10 points or plus, and they blew every one of them. Six times. No, that's a little bit different.
That's a little bit different.
You get those Detroit fans hoping and thinking that it's going to be gravy, but then it just the wheels fall off the wagon.
I asked this question on Sunday. What will we be saying about Matthew Stafford's career when it was over?
Damn. I think I was about to say a pretty good quarterback, but
bad franchise.
Yeah, that probably fits. That's probably fitting.
Good quarterback, bad franchise. Man, 206 yards yesterday against New Orleans. That ain't gonna cut it. Just saying. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Our injury report. We will get into who's playing and who's not for the Falcons, and what does the Packers receiving core look like without two of their top targets, including Devontae Adams. We're counting you down until the countdown to kickoff with Mike Conte and Harry Douglas. It is Willie P and Hugh Douglas on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on your home of the Falcons at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.